Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 8th of June, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. And I also have with me Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here. It has been a busy couple of days.
Man, like, it's Tuesday morning and my brain is still full from yesterday. Yesterday we had the WWDC kickoff event, the keynote, which is public to everybody, where the world gets a look at the new versions of iOS and macOS and a sneak peek at watchOS and tvOS if they have anything they want to announce there. And then in the afternoon we get another event, which is the developer state of the union, which is a slightly different address, is generally not public, or at least not the one that gets a lot of public attention overall. For a lot of developers, this is the one, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong on this, this is the one that tends to be sort of the actual keynote, because this is where we get some nuts and bolts about the stuff that's coming in the new operating systems and not just sort of a flashy demo of the finished product, right?
That's right. Yeah. Like, yeah. Right. Of course.
Yeah. So this seems like a little, so for the Worldwide Developers Conference, this is usually the part that a lot of people are very interested in, because it's going to be the part that unveils sort of what you're going to do with your summer vacation if you are a developer.
It does. However, watching it as a not developer, but someone who is interested in how these new features that looked nice and slick in the keynote are going to work, is often very valuable. Now, it means sitting for what yesterday was about 74 minutes, mm-hmm. and having all of about seven of those be valuable, and then trying not to lose focus. And I use that word, and it is a double entendre, right? Because, you know, Apple and focus and all of that stuff.
Yes.
Trying not to lose focus, because that's where I miss the important little bits, right? You know, mm-hmm. when they start going into code samples, occasionally it's like, okay, I can probably detach a little bit here, but I need to be careful. And I will start with focus if it's okay.
Yes, please.
Because we learned a lot more about that mm-hmm. in the State of the Union.
Yeah.
What Apple explained to us in the keynote seemed like it could be a bit of a mess, right? Like all of those different levels, and like, how mm-hmm. is this all going to work together for someone that doesn't want to spend their life managing their notifications? In fact, I sort of watched it. I live and die by not only my calendar, but my to-do list.
Yes.
But I am someone for whom a very, very simple to-do list is the most effective thing. I watched that keynote and it was like someone trying to sell me on GTD, right? For a to-do list, which is a thing that, at least from my perspective, is the kind of thing that I would need to spend hours a week managing my to-do list. It's like, no, I want to spend hours a week being productive. And I felt that way about focus too. I now feel a little bit differently. So there are, as defined by developers of apps, there mm-hmm. are four different notification or four different interruption levels.
Yes.
So there is the active notification, which is what we have currently. It stands on its own. It is sort of the default level, if you will. But there are three more. There are passive interruptions that will not do anything to interrupt the user. They are just things that will sort of be there as part of your notification groupings, right? Mm-hmm. Then there are time-sensitive notifications. These are the ones that will alert you to things at a specific time, right? They will hang on the lock screen a little bit longer. They will bypass that notification grouping, aka notification summary. They will be announced by Siri if you have your AirPods in, right? These are the new sort of, and I think it's, I think Apple chose the new one to be, to take the place of essentially what the old ones used to do, so that the old ones don't just become a mess in this new system.
Yeah.
So app developers will have to rework their apps. It's very simple, at least as they showed us, to mm-hmm. reclassify notifications. But these time-sensitive ones, these are the ones that you're actually, according to the developer, going to want to see. And then there's a fourth one, that's called a critical notification. This will play a sound even if your device is muted. Now, not all developers can do this.
Right.
A developer needs to apply for and receive an approved entitlement to get in order to bake this into their app.
These are your Amber Alert, your flood notice, your hurricane warning level things.
That's the types of things we see now, but developers now, third-party developers, will have the ability to bake these into their apps if they can make the case to Apple that they should have this ability.
Right. So one thing that I noticed with the focus stuff is, I noticed a number of people that I know who had similar reactions to you of sort of dread of this feature. And I think part of that is because do not disturb and do not disturb while driving, like, it's kind of a mess now and it's kind of hard to manage in the first place in some ways. So giving me a whole bunch of other ways that this can go wrong felt sort of like going in the wrong direction a little bit. So I'm glad to hear that it sounds like there's a way forward, and this may not actually be the catastrophe it sounded like, at least to somebody like me, because I take those notifications very seriously.
No, I don't think it is. There's more to it. They notifications can have people icons associated with them. So it would be a sort of a combination of the app icon and a human or avatar type icon. And this is for your Slacks, your Skypes, your messages, so that you know it's not just messages notifying you, but it's a message from Kelly notifying me.
Okay.
And so that's an interesting thing. Similarly, apps like those, like Slack and Skype, can request access to your current focus status. Now, you'd have to grant this access to the app like we do many other things in iOS. But once you do, now your Slack status, your Skype status, your Telegram status can be reflective of, if you're in do not disturb mode, those apps can know that, just like messages can know that, which is cool.
Yeah.
One last thing that developers can do is they can set relevance scores on notifications. And these are, again, set by the developer, but it will be helpful in that notification summary because things might not just be organized temporarily. They may be organized based on relevance. So all of that is what developers can do. And that's a lot more than we heard about in the keynote. There are two other things that they talked about with focus and notifications. And one of them, I think, makes a big difference. And that is that there will, and this is my term, not Apple's. I don't know what they're going to call it, although it may be the same thing. You know, when you get a Siri suggestion that says, like, hey, I noticed that every time, you know, at this time of day, you run your nap time shortcut or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. There will be Siri suggestion style recommendations to allow certain apps to have their settings changed. So it might be like, hey, we notice that you're using Slack more when you're in work mode. Maybe you want to move their notifications, that app's notifications, into your work profile, or you want to move this app's notifications. Yeah. So it's going to intelligently try to guide you so that you don't have this mess to manage. So,
that's great.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yep.
What else? Andrew, did you see anything in the developer State of the Union that stood out to you?
Yeah. So I saw one thing that was in the State of the Union that was not mentioned on stage at the keynote is, and this is something that we talked about being on my wish list for Security Friday. So it does sound like a Safari keychain, iCloud keychain, can now include those one-time passcodes.
Ooh, we did talk about that, and it was it was great. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, we were just saying, you know, maybe, you know, maybe you don't want both those passcodes and passwords in the same sort of setup, because I think maybe that does defeat the two-step verification. But I just think it's such a great feature just because it's just the default now for everyone.
Yeah, and it makes it so much, well, it also makes it easier to implement those. And it's hard to get into iCloud Keychain if you are doing the other stuff right. right? Like if you have Face ID enabled, if your passcode is a long passcode, then somebody being able to get into your iCloud keychain if they're not you is a little bit more complicated as long as you're smart about the other stuff. So like if you're taking a reasonable level of security measures, then this is just another point in convenience's favor, which is super helpful.
Definitely. Yeah. There will still be those, third-party password managers like Bitward and 1Password for those who do want more features.
Mm-hmm. But this was a thing that we were talking about specifically, was just being able to add the one-time passwords would make it so much easier, and it would get people off of the send me a text message, which is way more easy to hijack than your iCloud keychain, access to your iCloud keychain stuff. So I'm very excited about that one. That was a thing I noticed that I was very pleased to see. And that's sort of what I was asking you. I was hoping that would be what it was, because we didn't talk about it ahead of time. And I'm like, wait, we had this. I'm glad it's there. Dave, let's go back to you. Did you have another feature that stood out? Because I feel a lot better about focus. You've kind of talked me off that ledge.
like you found, Andrew, there are these hidden gems that sort of show up, and they weren't there in the keynote, but they're big deals. There was a note with notifications where, specifically with regards to messages, it said the example was given that you could mute a single conversation for a limited amount of time. And it was like, wait a minute, I've wanted that for a very long time, because sometimes you can mute notifications for a conversation now in messages, but it's an all or nothing thing. There is no expiration for that, right? So like Facebook Messenger has the ability to say, I want to mute this conversation for 24 hours, but then I want, those notifications back. Messages doesn't currently have that. Seems like, at least in iOS 15, and I'm hoping in everything else that sort of, iPadOS and macOS Monterey, that we will have that expiring mute on conversations.
Yeah, I like the idea of a time-based mute. That'd be really nice.
Yeah. No, it's the way it needs to be. It works so well in other messaging apps that it's like we need it here too. One other thing I noticed, and this I noticed in the keynote, when they were demoing the sharing stuff in messages, there was Craig Federighi pinned a message that had a news article associated with it. Well, pinned messages, like one of the biggest issues with messages is all of our messaging apps. This isn't just, text messages, but they certainly fall into this category, have replaced email in a variety of ways. There is, if I get an email from you that I don't want to deal with right now, but I definitely want to deal with later, I can either mark it as unread or flag it in mail so that I know to come back to it. There's no way to do any of that in messages currently. And if I could pin a message, that would potentially get me there. Really, I want to do something more than pinning it, but at least some way to flag
a message. Which is what we had in 14. Yeah.
It's what we currently have. Yeah. Yeah, so I was excited about that little thing too. So those were the hidden tidbits that I found in messages specifically.
I like that a lot. Andrew, did you find anything else that caught your eye while you were watching?
So this was mentioned at the keynote, but I just think it's so great that Siri has even more offline capabilities because as I'm seeing in the State of the Union, it sounds like it's a great accessibility feature, just because you now can use Siri to control certain things on your device that you couldn't before, like changing a setting. Like I think they said, turn on airplane mode or opening an app. And I think that's just great.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Especially because they're, I think they call it on device. Like these are on device things that you can you can do, like that's the distinction between the two. And I like that because I don't think it's going to affect, any of the other stuff you do, or they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't be rolling it out to people, I should say. But also like, because I think there's a whole lot of power in our pocket computers that is getting unused and it just sort of sits around. I don't think a lot of people are ever like maxing out the processor on their phone, you know, in some some way. And so taking some of that headroom and doing something cool with it, like having even more Siri processing be local, seems pretty great. I like the idea that more of it can happen internally. And so and so less of it, you know, I know you're happy about it because less of it has to leave. Part of why I'm happier about it is because hopefully it means that some of the machine learning that she's doing, like maybe it'll get smarter. And that's a thing that I also appreciate is like maybe because like maybe on my device, the assistant will get better about answering questions that I ask all the time that and yours will get better at what you ask all the time because it's all like on device. So like yours may have a little harder time telling you the score of the latest Portland Trailblazers game than mine does because mine knows I ask it that on the regular. So that sort of thing, I think, you know, hopefully like we can see more expansion of that, you know, like I talked about with Dan Morin last week, right here on Daily Observations, like it would be really nice to see her evolve and maybe we can use some of the horsepower in everybody's pockets to make that a reality. That'd be super cool.
Yeah, because it is kind of a two-part thing. I feel like maybe in the past they were marketing the on-device processing more, like you said, it's a privacy thing. Like this machine learning, it learns about you, but it doesn't need to get sent to someone else's servers.
Yeah.
But the other half of that is just that on-device local things just means that it's faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
That demo was way faster. And yes. What I'm really looking forward to that is in the car with CarPlay.
Yeah. You know,
there's a lot of those times where I've asked Siri something and it's like, oh, your internet connection is spotty. And it's like, yeah, but none of the things I asked you have anything to do with the internet. Like,
yeah.
I just want you to play a song or jump to an app that I currently have.
Can we I asked you to open an app that's installed. It shouldn't matter whether you have Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's good.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. We will continue to find more stuff this week. We are still going to be covering WWDC and letting you know any of the other stuff we find that is interesting. But that's going to do it for us today. So, Andrew, as always, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Dave, thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure.
And bonus thanks to Dave for seriously talking me off that do not disturb ledge because I was really worried it was going to end up just being a trash fire and I'm glad it's not.
It might be a trash fire, but it seems like there's a possibility it won't be.
Yeah. The light at the end of the tunnel may not actually be a train. It could still be a train.
That's right.
But there's also a possibility it won't be. And so that feels a little bit better anyway for today. So we will find out more. We will let you know here at Daily Observations. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.